Bro.
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 Bro. Daniel Bryan is the 9/11 of WrestleMania 30. It's a joke, right? But out of context, that shit sounds terrible.
Heel Nakamura is best for business. The Nutcracker Prince, or whatever you want to call him. I'm all about it.
That's a t-shirt. Well, he was right about this. Well, of course he was, man. He also predicted three other things to happen with that same prediction. Like,
bro.
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 Say hello to the bald guy.
And bow down to your king.
This is Drive By.
Welcome, welcome. I am Mike Shooter Marcus, and with me, as always, my partner in crime, the other half of this delicious duo, none other than the King of Nerds, Mike Forrest. What's going on, Mike?
Nothing. It's a beautiful morning here. My cricket friend is back, so that'll be great for everyone.
Dude, I'm about to hunt that MF-er down and stomp his ass.
I know. It's like I would just record inside when we do these morning recordings, but like my wife is still asleep. And I get animated, you know?
A little bit too animated, yeah. I totally understand.
I did this once, like recorded once while she was asleep, and I was like, yeah, and then that motherfucker got in there and he said, hey, mother, you know, and I can't get all animated like I like to. So I decided we'll just deal with the fucking cricket for today, and I'll figure something out better for next week, maybe.
Well, I mean, as of right now, I can't hear Mr. Jiminy Cricket.
Okay, so, well, that's good, because you could hear him last week.
I could totally hear him last week, so maybe he's not being as pronounced as he was. Before we go any further, Mike, I do want to give a shout-out to Ryan from Pro Wrestling Tees. I meant to mention this last week and forgot. If you follow the show closely, then you probably know, because you follow our page, you probably know that one of our episode covers, as I try to make unique cover photos for each episode, caught some steam with Tama Tonga of the Firing Squad. And one of our cover arts became a t-shirt for Tama Tonga on ProWrestlingTees.com. I do have a shirt for myself and one for you, sir, and the high fiver himself. I just have to mail those out to you, and I swear they're in the mail, buddy.
You know, I've heard that once before from you.
Yes, but this time, I actually physically have the t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a step up already.
It really is, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yes, this is a shout-out to Ryan for hooking me up with that.
Thank you, Ryan.
Stand-up thing to do. They contacted me about even using it, which, let's be honest, in reality, they didn't need to do that. They could have just took it and done it.
They could have just done
it. And they asked. They sent shirts, so I'm good with free shirts and possibly a further collaboration on some other merch. Who knows? But anyway, I guess since we're on kind of the New Japan topic, we can kind of segue into, I mean, I don't know, is there anything going on this weekend, Mike?
Fire Pro Wrestling came out.
Well, there's that.
It's got that New Japan roster on it.
There's that. Anything else with some of the guys that
there's like
work
a,
in New Japan?
There's a podcasting event going on this week.
Hmm.
Is that what you're talking
about?
We're not at that. We definitely are not.
Did not get the golden stamp invite.
Be dope to be recording from Chicago right now, but we are not. All In, isn't it? Isn't it the biggest indie show in the history of indie shows ever?
That is what they are calling it, and I would have to say that would be hard to argue with.
This might be the most indie show ever, because it's not even, like, attached. Usually indie shows are like GFW. Well, I just said GFW, and that's a real thing. is it still a real thing? Anyway, normally they're attached like some generic federation that generally has an X in its initials. And doesn't it though? Don't indie federations always seem to have like some shitty X?
I think it's part of a rule.
Yeah. So generally they're attached to at least a fed of some kind. This is like federation, like free. There's no nothing. This is as independent as it gets.
Yeah, and I mean, as we've said on here, congrats to the Bucks and Cody for selling out a 10,000-seat arena. That in itself is impressive. There are times where WWE does not even pull that off. So, props to them. I think one thing that's people kind of need to slow the roll is I don't think they could do this week after week. I mean, I've heard people say, well, they should just start their own organization, and that's just dumb. Such a huge task that I don't think any of the guys involved in this, even beyond Cody and the Bucks, want anything to do with. But it was announced. We already knew it was streaming on Honor Club. We knew that you could get it for $40 on the Fight TV app, but it was also announced that it will be streaming, not live, but shortly after, I believe in its entirety, on New Japan World. So you're giving me those credentials, right?
No, I'm telling you like I tell everybody every time they ask. Like, pay the $10. Like, you can't have my New Japan World credentials.
All right. No, show's over. Canceled. Done.
I probably reckon I could hook you up with that. I'm not going to need them to. This works out perfectly for me because I wasn't going to be able to watch live anyway.
Right.
But now... that's $10 that I was already paying. And exactly. Now I get to watch it as soon as I get home from work. See, that's the only reason you're getting the credentials, by the way, is that I don't need to watch it until like 5 a.m. So, that's fair. That's why. It's weird. I don't pass out New Japan credentials to anybody. Like, a lot of people have my HBO password. A lot of people have my WWE Network password. You and AJ are the only two people I've ever offered my New Japan password to.
Well, hey, it's an exclusive
David Patterson.
Club.
David Patterson, but he eventually just bought it himself.
And see, that's why it really doesn't harm to do that, because eventually people will just say, you know what, it's $10, I'm just going to pay for it.
Yeah, if it's something you really like, you'll eventually just pay for it, man. It's nice to just have it.
Right, which also brings me to another point. You know, I saw people kind of complaining, like, well, if you're going to you got to try to support this, you should just get it on the Fight app, even if
dick.
You have New Japan World. Like,
eat my
are you
dick.
Insane? Like, if you're paying for New Japan World, you obviously follow these guys, you know the storylines. So, if anything, I think it's a good way to get other people to subscribe to New Japan, to Honor Club, which I looked into, and Honor Club is ridiculously priced, just let me put that out there.
Is it really? I haven't looked into it at all, but...
I don't want to spout numbers off without having it in front of me, but I know for what it was offering, and the content that's there, yeah, it's stupid.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Especially when you can compare it to something like WWE Network or New Japan World, like unless you're a superb hardcore Ring of Honor guy or girl, you ain't doing it.
Yeah, and I'm not. I mean, like, don't get me wrong, I'm into it, but it's not like I'm not gonna pour over. Holy shit, it's $9.99 a month
for Honor Club.
Yeah, that's. Man, I can't pay that.
But there's three different
levels.
That's
the lowest tier.
Yeah.
Is $9.99.
And that doesn't get you everything.
No.
That doesn't get you all in, for one.
Yeah, it
definitely
doesn't.
You have to be a certain tier, so.
Yeah, there's a VIP membership you have to be part of, and it's $119 annually.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little...
Which, I mean... Technically, it's what? That's
$10
a month.
That's $10 a month. That's too steep for me for Ring of Honor.
But I'm not asking you to, and I think they're asking you to pay it at once to get the VIP level, and I don't know if I can commit to that.
Yeah, I don't know about that. That's. I already. I mean, look, even if it's just $10 a month, right?
When you compare it to what you're going to get for $10 a month,
it only gets you a
50%
discount. It only gets you a 50% discount on pay-per-views.
Right.
So you're not getting.
So you don't get.
You don't get the pay-per-views. You don't get. I mean, obviously you've got their history, but I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to be watching old Ring of Honor shows like I watch old SummerSlams.
Right, and half of their. I mean, a majority of their history that a lot of people are going to want, they don't even have video library for.
Oh, that's an even good point, man. That early 2000s stuff is gone.
Right.
All that CM... Well,
Not all of it, but a lot of it.
A lot of it. A lot of it was compiled onto DVDs when he was still in WWE because they were trying to make a buck off that. I remember when they were doing that. Mm-hmm. So maybe they still got like the DVDs and stuff. Maybe. But like basically all that early 2000 stuff's gone. That shit's gone. With pre-HD, pre-digital. You don't, first of all, WWE pre-HD stuff looks like shit. Imagine what Ring of Honor's is going to look like.
Well, I mean, their HD stuff now doesn't look spectacular.
I mean, that's
so.
Fine. If you want to watch wrestling like poor people, go right ahead. But I don't pay extra money a month to fucking watch wrestling like a fucking white trash.
I'm right there with you. Looking at the All-In card, I don't want to sit here and go over match for match, but is there anything that sticks out for you? I guess something that I find interesting. Okay, Rey Mysterio, who from all signs is back with WWE, possibly already with a signed contract, but he is still competing at All-In on a team with Phoenix and Bandido versus the Golden Elite. Nick and Matt and Kota Ibushi. So
I'm pretty interested in that match. Right off, I'll tell you that. Obviously the title match, the NWA title match, Nick Aldis and Cody.
Just for the history alone of just there's that cricket. Just for the history alone of the NWA World Title, Dusty Rhodes, Cody Rhodes. Like I think that's awesome.
I do too. I think Cody probably needs to win this. I really do think Cody needs to win this because Cody needs to fucking win something. You can't just tell me that Cody is at this point, a year ago, Cody was the Ring of Honor champion still, I believe.
Right.
But for the last year, Cody has lost shots at every major fucking title in pro wrestling except the WWE title. Like, I need Cody to win something, man.
Yeah, I think it's time, and I think,
like, you can't just tell me this dude is outstanding without him winning, because you're basically doing the same shit you did to him in WWE, where you just told me how great he was all the fucking time, and he lost.
But never let him win.
He's doing it to himself now.
And really, if we're going to have a working relationship with the NWA and Ring of Honor, which clearly this is what it sets up, at least so far, you would have that idea. Cody's an ROH guy right now. He signed to a contract. So unless they're going to further that relationship, then there's no way he wins. If he wins, then we can clearly see they're going to further that relationship. Now, I have no doubt that Billy Corgan, owner of the NWA, would be all for this. It's all on the Ring of Honor side, and I don't see how they could be against it.
Yeah, I really think he needs to win this. Also, do you book yourself to lose at your own show?
I mean, I wouldn't.
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't. If, like, me, you, and AJ were throwing, like, a podcasting thing, I certainly wouldn't book us to, like, go on first.
No, and at the end of the day, we'd be the podcast champion of the world.
Yeah. Damn right, fuck you, NAI, we're coming for you.
Another match that does stick out to me is Marty Scurll versus Okada.
I am probably looking forward to this match more than anything.
Just the, I don't know how I want to phrase it, but just the, and I hate to sound marky, but the work rate that could be in this match could be.
Yeah, well, I've been pretty open with the fact that I think Okada's quite possibly the best wrestler in the world for the last 2 to 4 years. I've been pretty open about that. Not necessarily my favorite, but he is. Actually, you know, not that I hate him, but I'm saying, like, there are people that I like better than him. But this dude, what he does is outstanding. He hasn't had a bad match probably ever. He hasn't had a match that wasn't above average in like 5 years. He hasn't had a match that wasn't, you know, a must watch in at least three. And Marty Scurll, what can be said about this dude that hasn't been said about like pizza and blowjobs? The man is fucking awesome.
I mean, when you get that comparison, it's hard to argue. Then, of course, we have the one and only, PWI's number one wrestler of the top 500, just announced, by the way, Kenny Omega versus Pentagon Jr. This is solely a singles match. It's not a title. Is Pentagon still TNA champ?
No. I think Austin Aries is, isn't he?
I don't know. I don't follow that garbage. No, sorry.
I don't either. I've heard it's really good lately.
I've heard it's really good too, but you know what? I just don't have time to even give it a chance at this point.
I've heard that if a tree falls in the woods, it makes a really cool noise, but I ain't fucking been around for one of them either.
So, I mean, hey, this sounds like a showcase. It'll probably be a decent match. No argument there. Anytime Omega's in the ring, Dave Meltzer gets his wings. So, you know, I think it'll be an impressive showcase, if nothing else. And it'll probably close the show. And that'll be that. Now, something that I just... Let me just fantasy book, because I know that isn't going to happen.
Go ahead.
But... I mean, Kevin Owens quit WWE, kayfabe, right?
Yeah.
So, how amazing would it be if Triple H and Vince McMahon just... Because, you know, I think Triple H would be all for it. If Triple H could convince Vince McMahon to let Kevin Owens invade the All In show. As Kevin Steen, come in, do a run-in, take out Omega, or take out Cody even, something to that effect. How amazing would that be?
That's a pretty outstanding idea. I'm not going to lie. When you sent me the call sheet, I didn't get it till this morning when I woke up.
Right.
And I saw that on there and was like, you brilliant, beautiful motherfucker, you. This is genius.
Well, I saw right away there's Kevin Steen merch back on Pro Wrestling Tees.
Oh, that's so smart.
So, and I know when Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens got fired last time, quote unquote, they were allowed to put their merch back on Pro Wrestling Tees as a way to make extra money because they technically were off the road. I'm hearing and reading that maybe the plan is Kevin Owens is going to drop some pounds, get a little bit leaner, meaner, and then possibly return with Paul Heyman at his side.
I've heard that.
Which I think might be one of the best booking decisions WWE could make or has made in the last 5 years.
KO can talk. KO doesn't need a mouthpiece. Yeah, motherfucker. So neither. Punk. Yeah, exactly. Neither did fucking CM Punk, but it was awesome together, wasn't it?
Exactly.
Man, it's like quit complaining about, like, oh my God, your chocolate got on my peanut butter. Shut the fuck up and eat it. It's better together.
Exactly.
Just eat it. It's going to be good together. Even if you like them separately, it's still going to be better. It's still going to be like good with that mixed together. Just shut up and take a bite, man. It's still going to be good eating.
Exactly. And you know, I'm down for that.
Oh, you got your butter on my mashed potatoes.
Couldn't you just see like KO showing up at All In, doing some damage? Walking out, not saying a word, just walking out, and then there's just buzz. You know what? People are going to watch Raw. More people that might not have watched Raw this week would watch Raw to see if he shows up, to see if there's ramifications, to see if maybe whoever he attacked showed up to for retribution, and it probably wouldn't happen, but it would get ratings, right?
Sure it would. Oh,
so
yeah.
So all that being said, because we can dream, and we know it's not going to happen, but all that being said, in your opinion, overall impact of All In for the wrestling business as a whole?
There's no way this has a negative impact.
No way at all.
The positive impact, I think the positive impact of this is that we have a sold-out Madison Square Garden show.
Mm-hmm.
This just shows how healthy wrestling is, really, to me. 100%. I don't think this means we're getting some new indie fed. That's not going to happen. We're not getting, you know, Ring of Honor, New Japan. It's going to bring eyes to them. But honestly, it's probably not bringing many new eyes. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and if anything, you know, all this talk of the Bucks and Cody starting an organization, haven't they kind of done that without actually doing that? If you're bringing, you already have Ring of Honor and New Japan working together.
They basically bridged that gap.
You're bridging the gap of the NWA, AAA Lucha Underground, whatever you want to call it at this point, even Impact. If these four companies really put their heads together and work together, and I'm not going to sit here and say they can just kill Vince McMahon, because that's not going to happen, nor would I think they would want that to happen.
No, but they could find a way to compete.
They could find a way to compete individually and jointly that makes it better for every single wrestling fan, makes it better for WWE fans, makes it better for fans of all the other organizations, and just the wrestling industry as a whole. And I think it's a super exciting time to be a pro wrestling fan.
I do too. This is very exciting. It's definitely a level of competition that they'll be able to put up. That's if they can all work together. I'm not saying they can't, but I'm also not saying they can, man. That's a lot of different personalities all in one.
Yeah, certainly. A lot of different executives, certainly. A lot of different businessmen, a lot of different everything.
But I really think at the end of the day, all this does. This is a way, I'll tell you what the positive impact of this could be, is that there's maybe some companies and some businesses out there that are watching that are going to notice this. And they're going to be like, hey, man, wrestling's a very healthy thing. And you might start to see more ad revenue come through wrestling. Maybe New Japan picks up a sponsor out of this that they didn't think they'd get on Access. Maybe Ring of Honor picks up. Maybe Ring of Honor, maybe Sinclair Broadcasting, who owns Ring of Honor, sees how healthy wrestling is, and Ring of Honor gets a regular
money given to him
and a regular time slot. Not just like any Sinclair Broadcast Company shows them one the fuck ever. Like they play at 3 a.m. here on two different channels. Maybe now it's, you know, every Saturday at 11 o'clock, Ring of Honor.
Which, hey, guess what? If you're solely a WWE fan, that could still mean the same for them. Maybe somebody sees this who's already a sponsor for WWE or wanted to get into that, you know, idea of being part of an advertiser there but wasn't sure, and now they jump on board, and now Vince is making more money, which helps everybody. I don't care what anybody says. The more money the top guy makes, the better for everybody else.
It's a trickle-down economics, motherfuckers.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, we're going to take a quick break, Mike, and are you ready to have a little bit of a debate?
Dude, I'm always ready to have a little bit of a debate. What kind of stupid question is that?
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're talking the good, the bad, and the ugly. Hang tight. We will be right back.
Sierra Hotel. India. Echo. Lima. Delta. Shield.
Welcome back, everyone. Okay, Mike, even if for the sake of radio, we're going to have to disagree a little bit here to make this interesting.
Okay. I've actually, it's fine. I've thought about this all morning. I've got some decent points.
Okay, good, because I have some written down, and I thought about this literally right after it happened, and, you know, of course, it's funny because we kind of, I think a lot of people saw this coming. If they didn't, I don't think they watched the product as closely as they should. That's not even a marketing thing to say. I'm just saying, like, this wasn't.
Just saying the pumpkins was on the door, you
well,
know?
Well, let's just say.
What?
Let's just say like this. The Shield reunion that we talked about last week, or as you said, a continuation, was not, it was a surprise. That was not something that people saw coming. This, I think, everybody should have saw at least one way, shape, or form this coming. But what we're talking about is Braun Strowman's quote-unquote heel turn on Raw this past week. So, of course, the show opens. Braun comes out and challenges Roman to a Hell in a Cell match using his Money in the Bank contract. A very face thing to do, right? We're putting it right out there. We're going to have this match. I'm not sneaking up on you. I'm telling you, man to man, this is what we're doing. This is where we're doing it. This is how we're doing it. And then, of course, Dolph and Drew interrupt. Then we get an impromptu... That was the main event, right? Main event match.
Yeah.
With...
Roman and Braun.
Dolph and Drew versus a team of Braun and Roman, which leads to Braun joining Dolph and Drew and beating the crap out of Roman Reigns and beating the crap out of Dean and Seth. And a lot of people in the IWC did not like this. Had a problem with Braun turning heel. And I don't. And there's points to it. There's people to blame. There's people to say. But the first point I'm going to make, Mike, is in today's wrestling, how do we really define a heel? Because let's be honest, technically Stone Cold Steve Austin was kind of a heel during his whole face run.
Well, you know, here's something. Let's say... Okay, so we're talking about a heel turn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that there are two faces in the ring having a face-off, right? Two good guys.
I'm following you.
All right, so say they start to brawl, right? Maybe one of them's a champion and maybe one of them's a number one contender, right? That's just for the for the sake of the story, okay? So they start to brawl. Both good guys, right? So now say that one of those good guys has two buddies that come down and they help and help him beat the shit out of the other guy and throw him through a fucking table, right? That, that seems like a heel turn to me, doesn't it?
I mean, sure. It's a fair point.
Just saying, to me, that also seems like a fucking... heel turn, you know, when you and your two buddies and you're all dressed in fucking black, throw another good guy through a table.
I don't disagree with it.
Okay.
I don't.
Okay.
And I get where you're going.
Okay, so why is this a heel turn?
Well, that's kind of my point. It's being called a heel turn because... I mean, I guess Braun established himself with two current heels in Dolph and Drew. I mean, he raised their hands. I don't think they're going to be like a three-man team going forward. Although, I mean, I guess it's possible. We got to even the odds, right? Since the good guys are beating up the bad guys, outnumbered.
This trifecta would be a bit better of a reason to have the Shield reunited than the fucking Miztourage.
Of also a very valid point. But something that... See, in this day and age, Mike, and you can agree or disagree, and we'll go from there, I guess, but does it really even matter, dude? Like, the fans cheer for heels. I'm going to name you a few, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong. Heel, Becky Lynch, they cheer.
Yeah.
Samoa Joe, they cheer.
Yeah.
The Miz, they cheer.
Yeah.
For crying out loud, Dolph freaking Ziggler, they cheer.
Yeah, okay, but my argument...
Kevin Owens.
All right, you can stop. My argument is you still need heels for the purpose of storytelling.
I don't disagree with that.
So, with that said, we're at a point in wrestling fandom where we no longer cheer for someone just because we're told they're a good guy. We cheer for people that are good at their fucking jobs.
Yes, 100%.
And just because you're good at your job and you're getting cheered, we need you still to be a bad guy. I love Josh Brolin as Thanos. right? You know, he's fucking great, but he's still not the dude you cheer for in the movie. Like, in the storyline, you don't want him to win. And I don't think storyline-wise, like, that those people cheering for them want them to win either. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're good at your job. Like, yeah, maybe they want, like, yeah, I guess they do. They want all those
people. So you don't want Kevin Owens to win?
Nah, right. I want all those people to have titles. But in the concept of a storyline, like, I didn't want Kevin Owens to beat Braun Strowman.
That is fair. That is a fair point.
Do I want Kevin Owens to be champion? Sure. Do I want Kevin Owens to beat AJ Styles? No, I don't. And it has nothing to do with liking AJ Styles more. I like them equally. I think they would both make valid champions, but the story they were telling for the U.S. title made more sense. I loved Kevin Owens, but I want him to lose the U.S. title. I love The Miz, but I want him to lose the IC title when he has it. That's just storytelling 101. And I think we're at a point, and I'm not going to say I always want him to lose, if it makes sense within the story. These are obviously people I like very much. I'm not going to fucking lie. I love The Miz. I'm a huge fan, huge KO fan. If it makes sense within the context of the story, I want them to lose. If now they're going out there and they're losing to fucking Jinder Mahal, no. No.
So, I guess let me pose this question to you. Why, you kind of started the segment off with, you know, when two faces are going against each other and one of the faces brings out two of his buddies and they beat the shit out of the other one, why is that not a heel turn? Why is this a heel turn?
I think it's why, like you this? Said, because he stood with heels at the end.
Okay, but he also partnered with Alexa Bliss in the Mixed Match Challenge, who is an established and has been, since she hit the main roster, heel.
He was just coming out of being a heel, though, man. That was a different time. He was but hold on.
But both of them acted as faces in that situation, did they not? I mean, in a way, at least with each other.
Who, him and Alexa Bliss?
Yes, and they were
probably the faces of the whole damn tournament, to be honest with you.
It didn't hurt her. It helped both of them. And she's still a heel, and he was still a face after. And my main point with this is the whole entire freaking reason, and I like Braun. I have a Get These Hands shirt, man. Like, I bought merch for this man. The whole reason Braun got over was because when he was a heel, he was beating the ever-living daylights out of the face forced down our throats, Roman Reigns. And that's why people cheered for him.
Yeah.
And we're getting this again in a Hell in a Cell. Why does this make him a heel? It makes him a stronger face.
Because, man, you can't... Roman always has to be on the face side. And I still don't... I think you could have had this match with them both being faces. I really do. But I think that they're trying to draw some heat onto Braun for it, I guess. Look, Roman's winning this match, right?
Well, yeah, clearly.
Clearly Roman's winning this match now.
Probably in a very heel fashion.
And I think they turned Braun heel in the hopes that maybe him losing wasn't going to get booed at the end of this. But it's still going to happen. And I get your argument about, like, you know, is heel face even necessary anymore? Only within the context of a storyline. And I feel like we could even move more towards... I just want to add this into this real fast. We could move towards... look, man, there's times in my day-to-day when I'm the good guy and I'm the bad guy. You know?
That's fair.
And that's just in my day-to-day, man. If you catch me at work in a 12-hour shift, I've probably been a good guy, and I've probably switched between heel and face 4 or 5 times. That's the role I play at my job. And I'm saying you could have people, I mean, they call them tweeners, but I think overall you could move towards a situation-to-situation type of booking where it's like, well, you know, maybe he'd be more aggressive in this situation and be the heel. Maybe. And then you could have certain people that are outliers that are almost always, you know, like Miz is always a heel. John Cena is always a face. But I think we could move towards a world where in wrestling booking, people are more in the in-between. Think like the NWO. These guys were like heels and faces depending upon the situation at a certain point. Bullet Club is the same way.
Yeah.
That's just a concept. I mean, like, obviously, like, it would need, there's more work that needs put into the thought. But we could really, like, move to a world where there's more guys hanging out in the gray. Situationally.
Yeah. I get it. And I mean, see, I just think in this modern wrestling world, and by modern, I mean literally like the late 90s till today, I just think it is it's a gray area, man. And
you might be right on this. You might be 100% right, I think, now that I'm thinking about this.
I don't think it really matters, but you...
It doesn't matter anymore.
But your opening statement was 100% right. Like, what they did with the Shield continuation did 2 weeks ago, that was heel. That was heelish. I think what...
They've always done heelish shit, though.
Yeah, and I mean, they started out as a heel faction, one of the best heel factions in the... in the company, right?
They were the they were the best thing on TV.
For
a while.
I think it's just... It's a matter of opinion at this point. But who do you blame? I mean, there's a lot of outrage on the internet about this, that Roman Reigns is sacrificing... Well, let me rephrase it. That Vince McMahon is sacrificing the most over babyface in the company, which I don't agree with, but that's fair. The most over babyface in the company for Roman Reigns.
Strictly speaking on that statement, Roman... Let's set Roman to the side for a moment, and let's just talk about this most over babyface. No, he's not. Is he probably the second most over? Like, he's not... Seth Rollins is the most over babyface on Raw. Is Braun maybe the second most over face on Raw? Yeah, he probably was. He probably, behind Seth Rollins, was the second most over face. Roman's probably five. Behind Dean Ambrose and... Shit, I don't know. So speaking on that, Braun's still super over. But who do I blame? I blame Roman and Brock Lesnar. I really do. I really do. And I blame them because, and it's not their fault. Obviously, this all comes down to the people behind the scenes, right?
Yeah.
But if we're going to talk like wrestling, and it's not their fault, but it's their fault. Roman and Brock, specifically because Roman was the only guy that was going to beat Brock, right? That was it. That was it.
That was the man.
Brock was champion. And we, you know, I've heard the phrase logjam be tossed around. Oh, we had a logjam for the title. No, we did not. Let's get that out of the way. We did not have a logjam for the title. Brock beat Braun. He beat Joe. He beat... who was the third guy in there?
Braun, Joe...
Shit, he's beat Roman.
Roman.
But
three to four times?
Yeah, but the story they've been telling for basically 3 years was that Roman was going to be the guy. We've got... Now
AJ, he beat AJ.
He beat AJ, non-title, but he beat AJ. So Roman was the only guy. So now we've got Roman as the champion, and now they've got to convince us that Roman is the guy. So we're going to, you know, Finn Balor was the first guy to get sacrificed to this. Finn Balor, for 2 years we've had Finn hasn't got his rematch. Finn got his rematch. Shut up. He lost. We're going to do it on Raw. It's not even going to be a big deal. Okay. And now you guys can never bring this up again. Finn got his rematch. It's done. Braun is going to be the second guy sacrificed to this. And it just is what it is. And it's not, like I said, it's not Roman's fault, but it's Roman's fault. It's Brock and Roman's fault because this is the story we've been told. We had Brock, it's too many names that sound the same. Brock is the man, and Roman is going to be the guy that takes him down. And now Roman has to be the guy. So, it's Vince's obsession with getting Roman over. That's probably
so it's all Vince's fault.
I hate saying that, man. I hate being one of those guys, right? I really do. Because I'm not generally one of the, oh, Vince. Vince is ruining it. Man, dude's... I think he knows a little bit more about pro wrestling than we do. Okay, guys?
Like, yeah,
I'm that guy. I'm that guy that's like, hey, chill out here, people. I think maybe this dude knows a little bit more than we do about this. So, calm down. So, but, man, at a certain point, you have to point the finger at someone, huh? There's someone in charge. There's someone in charge that's like Roman or die. Maybe that's Vince. I don't know. Maybe it's Kevin Dunn. Shit, we don't know, man. Maybe it's fucking Triple H and Stephanie. We don't know.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
We don't know, right? Because then it's never over.
Wouldn't that be amazing if it all comes out? Triple H is the one pushing Roman Reigns.
Yeah, Triple H and Stephanie were the ones behind it, and like he's just gonna be the guy for the next.
Vince has been arguing with him the whole time.
Yeah, the whole time.
Braun.
Turns out Vince is like a Braun and a Seth Rollins guy.
Vince is like, no, yeah, it should be Braun and Seth.
Kevin Dunn's been backstage like AJ Styles. And this whole time it's been like everyone that loves Triple H is like mind blown. That would be awesome.
I legit hope that's the truth.
I do too, but I kind of don't because that means nothing's going to change.
That's very true. Well, I guess at the end of the day, I'm just going to look at it like this. Dude, cheer for whoever you want to.
Right,
man? It doesn't matter who's a good guy and a bad guy.
There you go.
It's pro wrestling. You said it best, Mike, last week. We get there because it's pro wrestling.
Because it's pro wrestling. Dude, you can like whoever you want to like, man. Some of my favorite wrestlers over the years have been people that were dirty ass heels. William Regal.
Uh-oh.
It's the town of death, man. I'm telling you. It's the town of death. Oh, it's a close one, too.
Uh-oh. Are you getting a new neighbor, Mike?
No, hopefully not. I just got comfortable with all the ones I have. Except for the assholes down the street. I don't understand them. They've got a whole huge backyard, and then they've got this tiny side yard right next to the street. And in this tiny side yard, they've got, like, a trampoline, a grill, a swing. Like, they've got everything in this
more
tiny...
More than what should be there.
Yes, man! And sometimes they've also got, like, a bounce house that's a water slide that they set up sometimes right next to the trampoline. And they got it all set up in this tiny yard. I'm like, why don't you just use this huge backyard that you don't do anything with? I don't understand it. Best I can come up with is the backyard has no shade. But they just like these kids just play on this corner all day, and I'm like, man, that is right next to the street, dog. You got a whole big backyard. But and this lady who probably weighs, this is a conservative guess, 400 pounds, sits on this rocker and just kind of like swings back and forth and talks on the phone and watches these kids. It's real weird, man. I don't understand what they're doing down there. I don't want to understand it. So they're really like, if they left, I'd be cool with that.
I don't know. It sounds like a future TLC reality show, if you ask me.
It's super weird, man. And it's kind of funny, though. I do, like, enjoy watching the kids. Because the kids, it reminds me, like, me being a game. There was a kid. There was, like, this day where they made up this game where they, like, kicked a football around a tree. And then you had to, like, run the football down to these cones. I don't know. But they made up this whole game. It reminded me, like, hanging out, like, David Patterson's when we were kids. He lived on this street. It was called Oakwood. And, like, my mom's two best friends, that's David Patterson's mom and this other lady, lived on this street. So all their kids were there. My dude Jonas's grandparents lived on the street, so he was always there. My dude David Stevens lived on this street. My high school crush lived on this street. It was insane. So, like, all these kids I knew lived on this street. We would just make up these random stupid games all day. And it just reminds me of that. So that is the nice thing. But other than that, I just don't understand their setup down there, man. You got like a really nice backyard. Plant some fucking trees or something, dude. Like, it's weird. Anyway, I really got off on that one.
That's okay. I think we said all we need to say. Mike, we're going to take a quick break.
Yeah, okay.
And we're going to try something different when we come back. We're going to sweep up a little dirt, man. What do you think?
That's cool, man. I've been cleaning my garage out all week, so I've been sweeping dirt up. I'm good. I'm in the zone for it.
All right, we'll give it a shot. Hang tight. We'll be right back.
And now, a reading to I Want to Be a Care Bear from the Care Bears movie. By our very own real one, a.k.a. F.K.A. Enzo Amore. I want to be a Care Bear. How you doing? No, it'll be so great to, when I'm a Care Bear. No, I can hardly wait to be a Care Bear. And do the things Care Bears do. Oh, I want to be a Care Bear. A Care Bear just like you. Do you? I'll be like Funshine and make the sun shine. How you doing?
And then have a heart like Love a Lot.
And I'll be like Wish Bear and I'll be there. We'll be the luckiest bears in motherfucking Carolina. I want to be a Care Bear and fill this world with love and sensual. To be a Care Bear
is what I'm dreaming of.
We'll make a great pair. We'll stick together through and through. Not like me, cats. Be like glue. I don't want to be a cook or a fireman. Respectable profession. And I don't want to play trombone in a march. Actually, I do. I very much do want to play trombone in a march. I just want to be a Care Bear like you. I just want to be a Care Bear like you. How you doing? I didn't care for this song that much. Next week, find something better. Doing too many bears the last couple weeks. Is that all this program's about now, bear songs?
Alright, Mike, I had an idea, something that we could do, a little bit fun here, a little bit different than what we do. Sometimes we end the show with, our favorite segment, who says something dumb, but I thought it would be an interesting idea to just kind of go through some of these, I don't even want to say dirt sheet, but, you know, the social media pages that fancy themselves dirt sheet that report everything and anything under the sun. I just want to read you some of these headlines, and we can go as far as the headline, or we can expand on the story, but I just kind of want to get some reactions out of this, because sometimes it's just, is this really a story? And sometimes there's some meat to it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, let's do it.
Alright, so the first thing that comes my way that I thought you would find interesting is, let's see, headline. Daniel Bryan wrestles every match like it's his last.
Shit. Oh my gosh. Why would you say that? Oh, man. And I'm
He is the 9/11
of wrestling. That's what I'm just getting ready to say, man. I'm the guy that said Daniel Bryan is the 9/11 of WrestleMania 30 whatever. Holy shit. Like, I mean, I'm sure in the article, like, they expand upon it.
Well, this, I guess, comes from a quote by Daniel Bryan from the Sam Roberts podcast.
Okay, so there's got to be more to it.
But I guess kind of the whole reason I want to do this is because of some of these headlines, like...
Clickbaiting motherfuckers.
It's just so clickbaity, and it's just... Just the way that things are worded, like, you almost don't even need to read the story. So, I mean, no duh. I bet you that a lot of wrestlers who don't have head injuries still wrestle every match like it might be their last, because you never freaking know.
Right.
So
I record every podcast like it's going to be my last.
The fact that Daniel Bryan does is should not be surprising to anybody.
No. Wow. A guy of great talent and skill takes jobs seriously.
Now wait a minute.
Hell of
a let me bring you the next one, okay? Are you ready for this? This will blow your mind on breaking wrestling news. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, let's do it.
Kofi Kingston changes his hair for SmackDown Live.
This is where we're at, huh?
I'm going to read this to you. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, no, I need this.
Breaking news. Kofi Kingston's long locks have been part of his character for a long time. First of all, don't put two longs in there in the same sentence, you idiots. They fly through the air, waving behind him, and it's fun to watch. This is the lamest shit I've ever read. As part of the New Day, Kingston is celebrating becoming part of the Five Timers Club with their fifth WWE Tag Team Championship reign. Kofi decided to switch up his hair in celebration of this career milestone. Or maybe he was just having fun, as always. For whatever reason, Kofi was sporting a blonde streak like Seth Rollins used to rock. It's a pretty good look, too, and he pulls it off. Only time will tell how long it sticks around, but if he dyed it, then they'll stay until he changes it back.
You can't see me right now, but if you could, you would see that I have my hood pulled way over my face and my eyes, covering up as much of my face as possible because I'm dying of secondhand embarrassment for the author of this article. Oh my
this
gosh.
Is, listen, this is from Ringside News. It's by H. Jenkins, and I am embarrassed for that man.
H. Jenkins of Ringside News. Bro.
Talk about a slow news day,
Did you get paid for this, dude? Like, if you got paid for this, props to you, motherfucker. But, like, to the dude that paid H. Jenkins for this, what is you doing, dude? I will do this for you. Like, shit. I was an English major for, like, a semester. Holy shit. That was cringy. Cringy. Oh, that was cringier than the Office episode, Scott's Tots. Oh, if you get that reference, people, you'll really know how cringy this was. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I can't get over this one, man.
Yeah.
I hope H. Jenkins isn't your real name. I hope you used a fake name on that, because I would be embarrassed to have even an initial. I would be embarrassed to M. Forrest. That's too close to the whole thing, man. Someone that knows me would look at that and they'd be like, M. Forrest, Mike wrote that. I know. And I'd be like, oh, no. No. I'd be so embarrassed. Like, dude, you put that out there into the world, into the, like, the ether. And, like, it's the internet's forever, homie.
Oh. It really is. Oh. Okay. How about this one? WWE. Oh, here comes H. Jenkins again. WWE planning fan festival for SummerSlam in Toronto.
Yeah, they do that
every year?
Every year. What are we? The Canadians weren't going to get it? They were like, we're doing it special for the Canadians. Okay, so thanks for that, guy.
I mean,
next.
Duh.
Fuck.
All right.
H. Jenkins.
Let's see.
You're really like shit in the bed today, guy. I'm gonna maybe. I've got a lot to do. You're lucky I've got stuff to do today, because I would troll you on the internet today, man, if I didn't have things to do.
All right. Let's see what else we have here, sir. Now, this is the headline. Okay. And this was Wednesday. This was this past Wednesday at 6 p.m. The Young Bucks discuss what they're going to do when their contracts expire. And the story is basically from, I believe, Jim Ross's podcast. And it's literally the same thing that they've been saying, where they say they have family, they got to do what's best for their family, and they're in a very interesting position to do what is best for them, which is what they've been saying for, I don't know, 8 months now.
Breaking news, breaking news. Young Bucks reiterate stance from the last 5 years.
I mean, it just seems silly. Like, what a stupid headline. What a horrible, horrible clickbaity thing to basically just say, hey, we're going to tell you the same thing we've been telling you with a different headline for the last 6 months.
Breaking news, breaking news. JR breaks some news, and we break it to you.
Let's see. Breaking news, Drew McIntyre reportedly in line for a big push.
Duh.
I mean, again, this was reported when he was paired with Dolph Ziggler and brought to the main roster.
Duh. Like, duh. He's getting treated like a big deal. Duh.
No,
he's already getting a major push.
Granted, do NXT stars always come up and just have a fit, you know, super fantastic career on the main roster? No, maybe not always. That being said, Drew was already on the main roster at one point in time, so his NXT thing was really just a warm-up for him coming back to the main roster. He was Vince's guy at one point in time. Like, yeah, it shouldn't surprise anybody.
This dude was called the Chosen One by Vince McMahon himself, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, if Roman has proven anything, it's that when Vince chooses you, he doesn't give up on that.
And let me, this is a quick one, so I'll read through it. This is, again, from Ringside News by Steve Carrier. Drew McIntyre may be the next big superstar in the Raw brand. According to Bodyslam.net, WWE, hey look, there's a citation, go figure, that's amazing how that works, Eddie. WWE has plans to push the former Intercontinental Champion to the main event level coming out of their ongoing feud with The Shield. There is even talk that he could be the next challenger for the WWE Universal Championship title, but that remains to be seen.
I see him getting beat up by... I see him losing to Roman in, like, February.
I mean, it's just... It seems like a silly headline. It seems like a duh headline.
I could see him losing to Roman at Rumble.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, but I mean...
Drew McIntyre in line for big push. No, duh. Getting bigger push than, like, 85% of the roster. Okay.
Now, this is more of a fun story.
Breaking news. Man with eyes sees.
We're going to redeem Ace Jenkins a little bit for bringing this awesome, I don't know, heel tendency of a Shayna Baszler, but here's the headline. Shayna Baszler encourages fan to divorce his wife.
That's a great headline.
Yes. See, this is more interesting. So, I'll read the article. Shayna Baszler is having a great time in NXT as she gets her feet wet when it comes to the WWE merchandise. She has a shirt in the WWE shop, and she will probably have many more. No, duh. One fan tweeted out tagging Baszler in the process, told my wife to order Shayna Baszler's t-shirt, and was told I have too many shirts. Bummer. What a stupid tweet. The former NXT Women's Champion obviously didn't appreciate this royalty money slipping away as she replied, saying, divorce time.
That's pretty good.
I like Shayna. She's awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty good shit right there. I like that.
I'm still not going to give Jenkins as much credit because he writes shitty articles.
Yeah, he's a terrible writer.
The wording and, like, the... I really don't think Shayna was worried about the royalty money. I think she was trying to be a heel character, but what do I know?
Yeah. I mean, who are we? We're just guys that talk about wrestling online.
I know. All right. Maybe we'll finish it up with this one just because I think it's funny. Breaking news, Nick Aldis tried to get TNA to sign Neville and Finn Balor.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's kind of what I was thinking. I was just trying to think of a way to say it, like, I guess. Like, yeah, seems like smart business to me.
When they're available, it was smart business. That being said, Neville might be available again?
Neville's not, but I hear Pac is.
Well, there's that.
I hear Pac is.
I've also heard speculation that he was in Pittsburgh near the WWE medical facility, so what the hell does that mean? I couldn't tell you.
Repeat that?
There was a story that Neville was spotted near in Pittsburgh, near where the wrestlers go for their physicals.
Oh.
So there's speculation that though his deal, he might really be... I don't want to word it. The speculation is that though his deal may be up with WWE, he may be in the process of signing a new one.
That's with WWE?
Yes.
The stupid... Which, it's the stupidest thing I've fucking ever heard in my life.
Here's where I'm going to say that it's smart. It's really smart if this was orchestrated by WWE to release the news that he was out of his contract, knowing full well he was just signing another one, just to make the internet explode. Especially with All In being this weekend and all that jazz, I think it would be a pretty smart move on WWE to get Neville's stock up before they re-sign him.
So they're just going to let him sit at home for months. And then they're going to release him and re-sign him.
They're going to void that contract or re-sign a new bigger one and put him probably either in the UK division of NXT or on the main roster, which is what I would hope for him. But
why wouldn't they have just done that fucking really 6 months ago when he said he wanted more?
I couldn't tell you that either, man, but
that's just I don't know. Dumb theory to me.
It is,
it's
but I like it.
Dumb. Fucking dumb. That's one of those things where we're like... That's one of those theories where I'm like... Really stop and think this one out here, guys. Like, do we really think that this company is capable of this, like, this level of, like, nuanced fucking kayfabe and everyone's storytelling here? Like, they're working the boys and everything on this. Like, they're capable of this type of, like, work. They're not.
Hey.
They're not.
What if?
They're not.
What if?
They're not.
What if? What if?
We can what if it all day, man. What if it'd be pretty cool?
What if Kevin Steen and Pac invade All In, destroy some people, and then show up on Monday Night Raw?
Okay, that'd be pretty sweet.
Okay, I can't let you go yet, Mike. You neglected this whole time we've been podcasting, and I know it doesn't have anything to do with wrestling, but it has a lot to do with you and your existence, and you just need to tell the story of how Mark David Chapman is responsible for your existence, and go.
All right. This is the story of how I was conceived. People. So.
Sex.
So. My parents were high school sweethearts. They were from a small town close to Kent State, so they graduated and they both went to Kent State. And they were pretty big Beatles fans. And in 1980, a man named Mark David Chapman would kill John Lennon. I'm not exactly sure of the date. I used to know it. I don't know. So Mark David Chapman killed John Lennon. My parents being huge Beatles. Okay, so let's rewind the story a little bit. I'm getting ahead of myself. My parents at Kent State, you know, they started going to church. got a little Jesus in them, and they decided they were going to quit having premarital sex. My mother goes off birth control, because what's the point, you know, paying for birth control, taking it, and having sex. So, fast forward an amount of time, I don't know how much time, a month, 2 months, I'm not sure. John Lennon gets killed by Mark David Chapman. As stated in the seminal 2006 film Wedding Crashers, grief being nature's aphrodisiac, they consoled each other.
I'll get the meatloaf.
With fuck meatloaf! they consoled each other sexually. And here I am, motherfuckers. So basically, the whole reason that John Lennon and the Beatles existed was so that I could be born. John Lennon died so I could live. So
it's hard to argue.
We should probably get some eyes on this podcast, because I'm like quite literally like
a big deal.
A big deal. Like I'm cosmically like I'm a big deal. Seriously, John Lennon died so I could do this podcast. So I'm just saying, you're not a fucking Beatles fan if you don't listen to us. There's even an argument to be made that his spirit was transferred into my fucking into my body at that moment, you know? So yeah, just throwing that one out there, guys. I might have okay. let's babbledy babble a little bit. Whenever I tell this story, I've told the story on social media a couple times, and every time I tell it, someone's always like, oh, I've got an even better one. And they tell some story that is not even anywhere near as fucking good as mine. And I just want to state, if you ever, ever, ever hear me tell this story and you think that your story is better than mine, it's fucking not. Don't tell me it. I don't want to hear it. Like, your conception story is not better than John Lennon fucking died so you can live. And I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear your story. I don't. Like, it's not better than mine. It's not. I feel the same way as when I make a joke on fucking Facebook or something, social media, and someone's are like, and jokes for me, if you don't, we're not friends on social media, you don't follow me. A joke for me on social media is generally like a weird thought that I've had. It's like some kind of like weird concept that I've just like throw out there. And someone's always like, oh, or what if even better? And I always want to leave a comment. It's like, motherfucker, don't think you can make my jokes funnier. Like, you can. You don't, your shit, don't like make my shit, like, your shit is not helping. Like, get out of here. Get out of here with that nonsense. So, don't ever think that your story's better than mine. I'm better than you, your peasants. Remember that always.
Always remember that. There's no way to top it. I think we just need to roll credits right here, Mike.
Oh, I bet you do. Coming soon.
Here we go.
Shooting at the mothership. Comprehensive review at WCW Saturday night, home of the mothership, here on TBS at 6:05 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, baby. With our own Shooter and its sister show, Feeling the Burn. An in-depth dissection. I still think it's fucking brilliant. An in-depth dissection. A WWF / Sunday Night Heat. Featuring the Nearfall Network's very own Shooter. That's it. That's all I've got. We can roll credits now, man. You got babies to go take care of and shit. You don't even need to do your bit where you're like, I'm not doing that. It's not happening. Yeah, it'll happen one day. Yeah, it'll be shit. That's right. You know. Whatever. When we all know that you fucking have like 4 episodes of each show done and ready to go, just wait for the perfect time to release them. Maybe around fucking Survivor Series time. It's okay. We don't need to go through that, man.
I'm with ya. I'm with ya. Alright, guys. I say it every week. It's been real. It's been fun. We will catch you next time.
You guys are beautiful. We love you. Have a great week.
thanks for nothing. You're dismissed. Bye-bye.